verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So we didn't come up with that name, word of faith. It's in the Bible already. Amen. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that word means delivered, redeemed. What do you need in your life? Because you've been redeemed from sickness, disease. You've been redeemed from financial lack. You've been redeemed from oppression. Are you dealing with oppression? Because we can just wake up in the morning and oppression be in our face, but we've got to know, we've got to speak to it. And it's not by just laying there and allowing it to take its course. Actually, it'll just get worse, it'll get worse. But if you will speak to that thing, my friend, you will see deliverance in your life.
Hallelujah.
Jesus has already delivered you, but you've got to learn to believe in your heart and put it in your mouth. Amen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. In other words, you're right on the inside, no matter what you feel like. No matter what condemnation comes, no matter what scene the devil brings your way and says, you missed it here, you say, no, I'm forgiven. Now you have to ask God to forgive you. Amen. You come to Jesus Christ and you receive him as your Lord and Savior. But after that, if there's anything that you need forgiveness for, if you've missed it in any area, and the Holy Ghost is convicting you, not condemning you, but convicting you to make the change, just come and say, Father, I'm sorry. I give that to you. And then you speak to that voice of condemnation. You tell it to get out of here.
Right.
I'm righteous.
That's right.
I'm clean.
Hallelujah.
Amen. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, who believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, notice something. Whoever calls. Whoever calls. And that word calls means to invoke, put a name upon, to call something. What are we calling? What the Word of God says that we already have. That's what we're calling to us. We're invoking,
yes,
blessing. And we're,
yes,
saying, it's got to come.
That's right.
You know, for finances, we commissioned our angels,
that's
and
right,
told them to go and bring in, you know, just like that car. I claimed that car, but then I commissioned the angels, go and bring in that Toyota Solara. And then I told the devil to take his hands off of it. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians 4, it says that he's the God of this world, but we take authority over him. In other words, we've been given authority in Christ Jesus. Adam lost his authority. He actually lost the life of God, but we've been redeemed,
yes,
through the blood of Jesus,
have.
And we,
yes,
have
we
been
have.
Restored to life.
Yes, we have. Glory to God.
And that's really what I want to talk to you about. God wants to restore some things in our life.
Yes.
And I know we've talked about this, but it doesn't get old.
No.
God wants to restore some things in our life. He wants to revive some things in our life.
Hallelujah.
He wants to bring some things into our life, maybe that we've never seen. Maybe we don't even understand. And if you're dealing with oppression in an area, if you're dealing with something that's keeping you blocked somehow, some way,
yeah,
from receiving God's,
yeah,
best in your life, if you're worried about what other people think about you, if you're worried about sickness and disease, you know, it's going to get me eventually. No. See, that's the world's fear. But we use wisdom, you understand, that we do natural things and all that. But God wants us to understand, if you use authority in my name,
yes,
my word,
yes, come on,
will work on your behalf. And I'm not talking about just gently pawing at it.
Come on, come on. Come
like
on.
A kitten just pawing at a ball.
Right, right.
But I mean, take it.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
And say it. And if it's not working, it's not because I'm saying it's not working.
Right.
I beef up my confession.
That's right.
Amen. I beef up and I look around and say, okay, Lord, is there something that I'm not doing to honor you?
Absolutely.
Am I missing out on, you know, your plan?
Right.
Am I being
right.
obedient to your will and your way? Am I putting you first in my life? Anything, and you don't sit around and you don't get depressed about it. I understand depression will come, but if you want that off of you, start saying who you are in Christ.
Amen.
Start saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You may have missed it 5 minutes ago, but you say, that's not me. That was just what the old man was yielding to.
That's right.
You get back up.
Yes,
and you start saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
He is working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And just say it and say it and say it in the midst of the lies,
that's
in the
right.
midst of what the enemy
that's
brings
right.
against your mind. Just keep saying it. And my friend, you're going to walk above.
Yes,
don't look at your spouse. Don't look at other people.
That's right.
To determine your salvation. You determine it. You say it. And it will come to pass in your life. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, tell your neighbor, it is coming to pass in my life. I'm going to say it. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team. Boy, I'd just like them to stay up there the whole service. But you can sit down. That's all right. Praise the Lord. So God wants to restore some things in our life. He wants to bring the blessings of God into our life. And some people come to the local church looking for the blessings. They come to the local church hoping that something will happen in their life, hoping that God will look upon them with some type of favor. But that's not how the blessings come. The blessings come because we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then we know that we're righteous, so we start saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if there's a specific thing that we need in salvation, in healing, in wholeness, in financial prosperity, in freedom, if there's anything that we need, we come to the Father and say, Father, I ask you for help in this area. Or you just claim it like Jesus looked to that mountain and said, be cast into the sea. Whoever says to this mountain, are you saying to your mountains, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, or that word done means come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. But you've got to believe it. Does it say anything about feeling? I feel real warm and fuzzy this morning, so no, there are plenty of times, you know, as a matter of fact, here lately it seems like the schedule has just been there, and sometimes I realize, like, I had to, what was it, I was telling Lily the other day, I apologize, I'm saying, I'm sorry if I was grumpy. She says, no, you didn't sound grumpy, and yesterday she asked me how I was doing, I'm like, I'm working on my grumpy. And it's nobody else. It's just sometimes in me, I'm just not quite settled.
Sure.
Yeah. You ever get there, you feel like, okay. You know, because I sat down and I did some things and then this and this. And you just get to a place where you've got to just sit down, let all the distractions go, tell everybody I'm not answering my phone. You know, or turn it off, whatever you got to do. And I understand there are times you can't do that,
right.
And you can't let that get to you.
That's true, that's good.
Right? And then I just have to take a deep breath.
Yeah. There it
is. And rather than looking at all the things that are coming up this next week, rather than looking at all the things I've got to do, rather than looking at that, I look at who I am in Christ.
Yes.
And I take solace in the peace of God. Whether you know it or not, I'm ministering the word, and this will help you.
Yes.
Because we can get up and we can have all this pressure seemingly on us, but if we don't use our authority, and if we don't just quiet our minds and just say, Father, I worship you. I spend time in your presence. I lay down everything that's binding. I just lay it down in Jesus' name. I thank you. My body's healed. It's got to line up. If there's anything you're dealing with there, I thank you, Lord, that I've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. I thank you, Lord, that this week I'm strong in the Lord and the power of your might. I'm able to do everything I'm able to do, and I will go through this week with strength.
Yeah,
And realize, keep the joy. Put joy first.
Yes,
notify your face.
Hello. Yes.
If you don't know how to notify your face, there you go, Ian. There's a half one. Gotcha.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Notify your face.
That's right. It'll help.
Let's go to Deuteronomy. And let's put this before you in Deuteronomy 28. Is it 28? It's somewhere. I go to it all the time. Praise the Lord. Where's that at? It talks about the joy of the Lord. What's that? All these word scholars up here, they ought to be able to help me. Anyway, rejoice. Yeah. You've got to serve me with gladness. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm thinking about something else, so that scripture wasn't on my radar. But in 28:47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. So sometimes you just have, when you get up in the morning, what it is about when you get up in the morning and oppression tries to come on you, or all the things that you've got to do for that week, or maybe your body's saying, I feel sick, or whatever. You've just got to reach down inside and draw out the joy.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost lives inside of you, and you just start, ha, ha, ha.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Ha, ha, ha.
Amen.
Like Dad Hagen. He was laughing there in his bed, and the devil's like, what are you laughing at? And he's, ha, ha, ha. What are you laughing at? I'm laughing at you, devil.
Yes.
Because you said that
I'm not going to get healed.
Right. Ha, ha, ha. Well,
ha, ha.
What are you laughing at? You said that I'm not going to get... I'm already healed. That's funny. I'm already blessed. I'm already strong. We just have to take hold of that strength and start looking at scriptures. You know, many times I'll go to... This isn't my message, by the way. It's all free. But let's go to Isaiah, because this is a wonderful one. Isaiah 40. And we'll start there in, 28? Have you not known? Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. You ever get weary? You ever get tired? Well, I'm not going to get off this until I hear some amens. Yeah. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, that word wait means to weave or twist yourself together with the word. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, let's look at that. Shall renew, shall strike through, shall spring up. Really, that renew is a restoration word. So we could just say, those who wait on the Lord shall be restored in their strength.
Amen.
They shall be refreshed.
Amen.
They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That was all free. Now, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read this scripture quite a bit, and like Dad Hagen, I was listening to him on YouTube the last couple days on the life of God, because I knew that I would probably be ministering along this line, so I just feed along that line. And he said, this is a scripture in all these years that I've probably shared the most. Why is that? Well, let's read it. It says, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Yes.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yes.
All right, let's read that in the Amplified. And we're going to keep reading that and let this register. Gain an understanding in your spirit of what this is saying. not just knowledge, but revelation knowledge. Therefore, if any person, this is amplified, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. If there's any fear in your life because of past experiences, you can be free from that. If there's anything binding you, if there's anything keeping you from God's plan, if there's anything keeping you from enjoying things with your friends, if there's anything keeping you back. You know, when I was a teenager, I was pretty shy, and I didn't always want to be around other people. And this guilt and this oppression and this darkness was something that I walked around with. But when I started going to church, now my grandfather was a pastor. My grandmother, when he passed away, she was a traveling minister, my great-grandmother. I had a lot of ministers in my family, but that doesn't make me saved. But when we went over to their house, it seemed like I would preach myself to sleep. You see, the anointing of God would get on me. And I felt freedom. But when I would go home, that oppression would get back on me. Why was that? Because the atmosphere that I was around changed what I was looking at. And they would talk about the word, and I used to love to stay up all night long and just hear my aunt and my dad and my mom, and they just talk about the things of God, and they weren't partying all night and stuff. You may have grown up with somebody that was partying. I know, I grew up in all that. Well, my friend, you're in this atmosphere now.
That's right.
And you can take this home with you.
Amen.
If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and really everybody in this room, I believe, does, you do take him home with you. But if there's an oppression in your home, you can change that.
Yes, you can.
Okay, by what you say. But there have been times in my life that the Lord dealt with me. I want you to look through all your videos. I want you to look through everything that you have and make sure that it's uplifting.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
I'm not talking about just yesterday. I'm talking about,
right.
I remember several years ago, I like Westerns, right? And there was one particular Western that I had got. I think it was Tom Selleck or, I don't know. Anyway, it's not Tom, what's that other guy? Well, anyway, doesn't matter. But realized that it was R.
Oh.
I'm like, oops, you know?
Yeah.
And God's like, get that out of your house. And really, I mean, there can be PG ones or whatever that just aren't edifying.
Right.
So we got to get that stuff. You understand that I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you. I'm just saying if you want freedom for your mind, there's some things you might have to remove.
Come on. There's some things
you might have to look at in your in your children's bedroom. And if you see things, and you let them know, look, you know, I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm not trying. It's just that we can't have this stuff in our house. And there are people that allow even adult children to live with them, watching wrong programs and looking at wrong things. It's going to affect the whole house eventually. So they have to get that right. And you got to help them get it right.
Amen.
So that was all free. Let's in the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:17, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. So inside, you've got the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Ghost breathed life, and we became living beings. And that word living, that is in Genesis 2:7. He breathed life into us, and we became living beings. That's the same word as life, living being. He quickened us.
Yes,
he refreshed us.
Yes,
he brought restoration.
Yes.
What do you mean restoration? Well, the new creation was the life of God, but man was created out of what was already created. In other words, the earth, the dirt. And if you go back to the Genesis 1:1, as a matter of fact, we'll just go back there. While you're going back there, I'm going to read in the Philips, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. You might want to say that. The past is finished and gone. I said the past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh. and new.
Hallelujah.
You can hold there in Genesis 1:1, but Dr. Mark Hankin says, when you see what God has done for you in Christ, the reality of redemption will swallow up your old identity. When you see what God has done for you in Christ, when you're looking at the Word, and you see what He's done, and you start saying that, it becomes a reality. Redemption will swallow up your old identity. I know you may think, you don't understand, I've been plagued with this oppression for this many years. Start looking at the Word. You're doing the right thing by coming here, but start speaking it. I'm free from that. And stop talking about, I'm afraid to be around other people. I'm afraid of sickness. I'm afraid of financial failure. Stop talking about the things, oh my goodness, I just can't make it this week. I just too many burdens. What are we talking about? What are we saying? What's coming out of our heart? What are we believing? And Dr. Hankins gives the example of a resort lake that was built on a salt mine. And the crew who were digging in that lake, they made a mistake and they dug down too far. What happened? They had to go to shore and they watched as the lake and part of the resort was sucked up into that salt mine below the surface of the lake. Let your past thinking be swallowed up in your new in Christ thinking. Let your past thinking be swallowed up in your new in Christ thinking that lines up with God's Word. In other words, that resort lake that was built on the salt mine, and they drilled too far, let God's Word, put His Word in there. And let that word sink in so far that you forget about the lake of problems.
Yes.
It's swallowed up.
Swallowed up.
It drains all the oppression from your life.
Yes.
You're
yes.
surrounded by God's goodness and
Hallelujah.
His mercy. Yes. And even though we've missed it, and we're probably going to miss it again at some time, God's peace is there because we know that in Christ we're forgiven.
Yes.
We know that we're free. We know that we can rejoice. We know that we can smile.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Did you know there are people that won't smile because they think, well, I don't deserve anything from God. I don't deserve His blessings. My friend, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You deserve His blood. You deserve salvation. You deserve redemption. Why? Because He claimed it for you.
Yes, sure did.
And therefore you can claim it.
That's right.
And remember, He has a name above every name. What is coming against your mind? What is coming against your day? What oppression is trying to get you to succumb?
Yes.
Yes. I'm saying right now, you just say in Jesus' name, I am free.
That's right.
I am healed.
I
am whole.
Yes.
I am strong. You don't understand, it's not working. That's because you don't believe it's working.
Come on now.
Come on. Yeah.
Come on.
Well, maybe if mom and dad just say it and say it and say it and say it. It's like Dad Hagen. He was talking about the lady that wasn't saved, but she came to the altar and she was crying. And for 8 hours, Lord, save me. And he must have said, 24 times she'd come to me, what do I do? He said, ma'am, you got to confess with your mouth and receive and just believe that you're saved.
Yes.
And she said, I can't do that. And she was making it hard and she was crying and crying, and they stayed there with her. Don't ask me to stay here 8 hours with you if you're not going to receive. I'm just thinking, boy, he was sweet. I'm just saying, wow. Receive it.
Yes.
Just receive it. I wish I could just travel around with people and say, okay, you need to receive it.
Yes.
And, you know, give me your hand there, like a crank. Receive. Receive. Receive.
Right.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can't do that for you.
Sure can't.
Right.
and we can encourage, and we can encourage, and we can encourage, and we can encourage, and people still sit there like a bump on a log.
Right.
Without. It doesn't matter what your demeanor necessarily has been in the past. Change it to the joy of the Lord. Nobody's asking you to be Jocelyn. Nobody's asking you to be Maya and Audrey. Nobody's asking you to be somebody else. Nobody's asking you to be the most outgoing person in the room. That's not what brings the blessings to your life. It's believing in your heart, and it's saying it with your mouth, and this confidently. So I can tell if you're sitting there and you're confident, because it's on you. You're receiving it, and you're saying amen.
Amen.
So we will keep preaching. We will. Thank you. We will keep on until you get it, and you're jumping up and saying amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Well, do I have to do that all day long? No, you get to, but I'm not. No. Let the past thinking be swallowed up in your new in Christ thinking that lines up with God's word. In Christ, the believer has become a fresh, new God species of man with the life and nature of God within. Really, when the Christian develops this new nature by using their faith to love others, then they yield to the very nature of God, for God is love. And we're talking about the life of God. You're back in Genesis 1:1 there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
We'll go back there. Glory. Genesis 1:1.
Glory to God.
And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, I hadn't thought about this, but I started reading some commentaries and realized what was going on. Notice here, God's creation or making process consisted of God making a thing by saying or calling, right?
Yes.
The desired outcome to come to pass, saying or calling the desired outcome to come to pass. Then he saw the good outcome or the manifestation. It had been brought forth by God's word. But notice something here. God made function what was dysfunctional.
Yes.
Yes.
Through his words, God ordered right or rendered fit what was out of order.
Yeah.
And Ephesians 4 talks about the equipping of the saints. It really means the right ordering. Now notice something. I said to say this in a commentary, the Dakes commentary. It says, the earth is not only flooded with water, but covered in total darkness, causing all life on earth to be destroyed. So there had been a pre-Adamic race there. This requires a pre-Adamite world with vegetation, birds, animals, and human beings, as proven in the notes on Jeremiah 4, 23, 26. This pre-Adamite earth once had people, animals, vegetation, etc., and had become a wilderness. So understand here, and then there was another flood, that what they call Lucifer's flood. We find proof of two universal floods on the earth. One is in Lucifer's day, and another in Noah's. So really, this is talking about in Lucifer's day, right? The flood of Noah lasted a year and 17 days, yet vegetation wasn't destroyed, but in Lucifer's flood, the fruitful place became a wilderness. New vegetation had to be planted in the 6 days of recreation because the earth was totally desolate. So there needed to be restoration on the earth. And what was the pattern that brought restoration? What was the pattern that ordered things aright? Then God said. Then God said. So they can call us name it and claim it, grab it and blab it. But we are getting the word of God in our heart, and we're speaking it out of our mouth, and we're right ordering our way before us. Amen. God said, let there be. And that word be means let it come to pass or let it be generated. Just like a generator that may be outside the building and in a storm the lights will go off. But when you turn on that generator or you flip a switch, those lights are going to come back on. What are you doing? You're generating light. Electricity is being generated and the lights come back on. Right? Well, we are generating a thing. And it will come to pass according to our faith.
Yes.
It will work according to our faith in our heart and in our mouth. Remember Romans 9? Romans 10, 9 and 10? We've got to confess what we believe according to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And we have the name of Jesus. It's a badge.
Yes.
It's authority.
Right.
Yes, we do.
And when we speak that name or in that name, things will come to pass. What do we say? We say what God's word says. What specific thing do you need in your life? Find it in the word. And start saying, I'm free. Start saying, I'm blessed. Start saying, I'm healed. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to you because I've been depressed before. I've been under oppression before. I've been suicidal before. I'm not talking about yesterday, all right? I'm just saying I've been delivered. But I've been there, done that. I understand. Don't ever want to go back to that place, but I understand something. If I sit there and I start yielding again to those old thoughts, if I sit there and I start dwelling on those things, there are certain things I have to stay away from. There are certain things I don't let my eyes look on. There are certain things I don't let these ears hear. Because if that stuff starts, it starts becoming real in your life. And really, it's not a reality unless you allow it to be. You have been delivered. You see, that's why we started out with 2 Corinthians 5:17. You've been delivered from your past. You are free already.
Already free.
You just have to get up in the morning and say, I'm free.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what people say about me. It doesn't matter what I feel like.
Doesn't
matter what the devil's saying. But you're going to have to tell the devil to shut up.
That's right.
Yeah. And you may have to separate yourself from some friends that are causing an atmosphere of oppression around you. You're going to have to do what it takes. Because I've told youth for years, I've worked with youth for several years as a youth leader and what have you. And I always said to them, 5 years from now, those friends, all those things you deal with aren't going to matter squat.
True, true story.
When you're on a job or you're an adult or you're married, you're not going to be thinking about what those silly youth think about you.
Right.
And I would encourage you, be like my friend Kate McVeigh. And she would just, you don't believe in Jesus? You're dumb. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues? Sha-da-da-da-da-ba? You're dumb.
Right.
I don't know if she started speaking in tongues in front of him. But she had a lot of respect from people because she just acted like, I'm all that. What do you mean you're all that? In Christ, we're all that.
Amen.
And we have to start worrying about what everybody thinks about us. And I understand that somebody can oppress you.
Sure.
Yeah, excuse me.
No, you're fine.
I understand that people can talk about you.
Yeah.
And it may seem like your life has ended.
Right.
But, you know, just tell the devil to shut up.
Right.
Just take authority over the spirit that's working through people to get to you. And really, just mind your own business. You know, I'm talking to young people. Just do your homework and mind your own business. Go home, enjoy your family. Tell your friends, look, if you want to talk about that, you want to get involved with that, I'm out of here. I've got better things to do with my life. And it took me a while to tell my friends that I had changed my life because I received Jesus as Lord. I used to say, well, I'm going to church now. What does that mean? I go to church too. It doesn't really mean anything. I had to start saying, and it took everything within me to start it out. But look, I become saved. You what? I know they'll look at you as weird, but
yep.
I'm saved.
That's right.
I'm different. I don't talk about those things.
All right, now.
If you want to talk about that, go ahead.
Yeah,
but we want to go to this party. Come with us. Nope, not doing it.
Yep.
I don't go where they have drinking and things like that.
Right.
Not doing it.
Yeah.
Just say no.
Yeah.
All right?
So good, Pastor.
5 years from now, it's not going to matter. And hanging out with those people and you know, young people, there's so many things that vie for your attention. And parents, you have to be so careful of what they're looking at on the internet and what they're listening to. Young people want your supervision. They may not say it.
They sure do.
But they want it.
Yes, they do.
They don't, you know, if somebody yields to pornography or watching wrong things or something like that, they want help.
Right.
Right.
That's darkness. And they see it as darkness,
right,
especially after the fact.
Yes, yeah.
The carnal mind may draw them to that, but their spirit's like, eh.
Right.
See, I'm trying to help some of these young people.
No, doing,
but they need help by parents that will say, you're not looking at that.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay,
come on.
If you're looking at the computer, it's going to be here
right.
in the room where, with other people. I mean, do what you've got to do.
That's right.
Well, everybody has a phone. Well, I understand maybe, but one with an internet, they can just look at what they want. I be careful.
Come on,
be careful.
That's good.
Pastor, they're not taking my phone from me. It's not your choice. It's not your choice. Do what you have to do to help your young person succeed as an overcomer. Do what you have to do to help your young person succeed as an overcomer in Christ. And tell them what they're not going to do and what they're going to do. And you understand, you can't live their life for them, but you can sure help them by giving them boundaries. Well, that was all free. Well, praise the Lord. Pastor Jay is going to be talking about the home and the family this next Sunday. So we'll just, you know, maybe a precursor. We'll see there. So God said. So we don't ask our young people what they necessarily, you know, do you want a phone? Do you want this? Do you want a computer? You give them guidelines.
Thank you.
You give them guidelines of what they can do and what they can't do because they're stewards in your home and you're teaching and you're training them. Amen? Because when oppression comes on a young person, they need help. And they're crying out. I remember for years, at the nighttime especially, I'd lay there in my bed and I'd just say, Lord, I want help. And I would talk to God. See, I know that the young people in here, you're talking to God. I believe you love God.
Yes, they do.
What are you doing, ganging up on the young people? No, I'm just saying, I understand because I was there, been there, done that. You understand? And I still remember those nights where just I would cry out for God and say, Lord, I don't want to be hanging out with these friends. I don't want to be looking at the wrong things. I don't want to be doing drugs. That was back at the time when I was dabbling in some stuff. And I was just a young person. But a lot of it was because I was kind of pulling the wool over my parents' eyes. They didn't realize the people I was with, you know, that we were doing this stuff. So you have to be careful. And you all have been there, done that. You understand. And you can't be in fear. But at the same time, you know, some parents, they have they just say, hey, bring your friends over to the house. And let me meet them. Let me get to know them. Let me spend time with them.
Amen.
Are their parents saved? You know, ask questions.
Yeah.
Well, I want to date this boy. Well, how old are you? But anyway, moving right along. We got time to date. But really, dating is getting ready for marriage, and 13 years old is not ready for marriage. I'm just saying. You might think that girl is cute. You might think that boy is cute. But they're going to take you to hell.
Come on now.
With that cuteness. If they're not saved. If they're not living right. So mom and dad, you know, you're going to have to get to know them. You're going to have to get to know their parents. I love it. There's a couple in our church where one of their young people was dating somebody, and the mom said, no, it's not right. It's not right.
Yep.
And he broke up with the person. And because he knew he wasn't going to marry that person, he knew it just wasn't quite right. And he broke up, and that girl got devastated. And the parents were upset. Well, what's going on there? You know, we've got to understand that if somebody doesn't have a peace about a relationship, you know, I had to tell a friend of mine, somebody who went to Bible school, that I can't hang out with you anymore. Why? Because of what you're saying all the time.
Yes.
You're talking about doom and gloom and doubt and unbelief. I mean, they went to Bible school. But they were talking about, and I had to say to them, and it was a hard conversation, I had to say to them, I'm not going to be able to call or hang out with you because of this stuff, because I've talked to you before about, I can't be listening to this.
Yeah.
It's like complaining about everybody, and you understand?
Right.
We have to take a stand, and that person got upset. But, well, that was all free. I said that was all free. So let's go to Genesis 2. So I stopped there and was meddling a little bit. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. So in Adam, he had the life of God, or synonymous terms, the grace of God, the power of God. You could say the glory of God. Really, the glory is more a manifestation or an outshowing of that life, whereas the life is inside, but you don't always see it, right? So the glory is a manifestation of that. But it all synonymous terms for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. But we're talking today, it seems like a theme, about the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus gives us authority to come in the presence of God and receive that life working in our lives. We already have it inside of us. We are new creatures in Christ. Behold, old things have passed away, all things have become new. But we come to him in his presence at his throne, and we ask for mercy and grace in time of need. Really, that grace is life. And it's inside of us, but it needs to come on the outside. And that's what we call sanctification. Righteousness is on the inside, but sanctification is that righteousness coming on the outside. We're walking right before God. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the Amplified, seek first his righteousness. Now, what does Amplified say there? Anybody have that? His way of doing things. His way of doing and being right. So that righteousness, you are right. You can never be more right. You are, it's a constant. You understand, anybody? You know, take math in here. It's a staple. It's a constant. It's always going to be, you know, Brother Andre. You know what that means, right? But it doesn't mean that it's taking you anywhere. It doesn't mean that it's actually doing anything for you. What do you mean it's not doing anything for me? You've got to believe it, and you move it through words.
Yes.
You move it through actions of faith.
Amen.
You move it through obedience in faith. So words are the primary action, but we've got to be obedient. We've got to do. I mean, if you get up in the middle of the afternoon and you're feeling symptoms in your body and the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, get up and start dancing. Oh, really? I can't dance. I'm sick. If the Holy Ghost tells you that you can get up and start dancing, first of all, start thanking God. Thank you, Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the strong. And did you notice I said, follow what the Holy Ghost says? I didn't say every time you're sick you have to get up and dance.
That's right.
I'm saying follow what the Spirit says. But we've got to live each day with the joy of the Lord, moving that righteousness, bringing it on the outside so that it can affect every area of our life. Amen?
Amen.
Move it.
Yes.
Bring it to pass. through generation of your words and your actions in faith. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That was all free. So where are we going from here? Well, we'll see. Let's go to John 1. John 1. Verse 1, John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Who is the Word? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So in him was life. So when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, this is simple, but we got to hear it. We have to hear it. We've got to get these things moving in our life through believing them and saying them. And how better to do that by hearing it and hearing it? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So Jesus had life in himself, and that life was the light of men. And really, that word, Kenyon brought it out, Dad Hagen brought it out, is the development of men. You want to develop in the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, faith, peace, self-control. Yeah. You know, Pastor, I want to stop eating the entire pie. Especially when nobody's around. Yeah. We'll stop saying, I can't control myself. Yeah. Start saying, I can do all things through Christ. I realize all of us in here, there are times when we have an opportunity, nobody else is around, and we're calling Sonic up and getting a double cheese, you know, fries, whatever. Sometimes that's what helps. I mean, I understand that. I get that. Or, you know, just like the other night, I didn't have any takers. They didn't want to go to, where was that? Andy's with me. And I'm like, well, I really shouldn't go, but I don't know, this time my night off, right? I really shouldn't. Nobody else was going to go. You were going to go? All right. So they, Wednesday night, you know, they had to come over. They were cleaning in the house and stuff like that. And, you know, I didn't know that, Ezra. I mean, I would have taken you home, okay? So they all left, and I'm sitting there, and I got my keys, and I got in the car, and I went to Andy's. I'm like, this is my night off. And then I went to Sprouts and got some health food. So, enjoyed every bit of it. All right? I didn't say I went every night this week. Okay? My sis came over, what was that, on Friday, and had lunch with me, and we went and got some steak and tater and stuff. But I just got the steak. A tater with no butter. I'm thinking this is going to be bad. But anyway, a tater, no butter. But I put the steamed broccoli on the potato. It wasn't bad. Yeah. It was okay. That good broccoli balance. Helped it. I had a conversation with the food coach, all right? Well, yes, I'm still preaching, all right?
Yes.
For about an hour and a half, I'm talking to the food coach on Friday morning, and she's just like, you're going to have to cut out dairy for about 90 days, and then you can reintroduce it. You need to cut out everything, even the raw milk. Yeah, even raw milk. And she said, carrots or carrots? Carrots? What are you talking about, carrots? Well, what happens, you want a lesson here?
Sure.
So in my gluten days, I was eating a lot of gluten. Sometimes what happens is holes will poke in your stomach, and food, it's kind of gross, will go into your colon in different areas, and it will create antibodies of those foods, and your immune system starts to attack it. So carrots are good for you, but it must have been that somehow carrots got through. I don't know how. Don't ask me, all right? That's what the food coach said, all right? So anyway, beans was another one of a couple of different kinds. It's like, beans? Really?
Wow.
I like beans. All right. Excuse me, Armando? Lorenzo. I don't know why I called you Armando. Anyway. Maybe it was Armani or... Oh, okay. I I like beans, all right? You know, chips and salsa and things. Anyway, moving right along. So, and I'm like, what can, and she said, you know, you can get off every now and then, but really you need to, for about 90 days, there are certain things. And it wasn't a lot of things that showed up. She says, really, you're doing very well. There's not a lot of antibodies that showed up. It's what they call food allergies. Now, I don't call it that because I confess that I'm not allergic.
Yeah.
All right? You understand? I can learn by these things. I can use wisdom by these things. But I'm speaking the word of God all the while that I'm free. And trust me, I will reintroduce things, especially if they're healthy for me. All right, carrots are healthy, just in case you didn't know that. And raw milk is healthy for you. Now, the processed milk, I can do without that stuff. But moving right along, so for about 90 days, I can, you know, be good and get some of this stuff. And I don't know what I was, what's that?
Self-control.
Thank you. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, that's what we were talking about. Self-control. So I understand that, you know, and I had Andy's a couple days before that, but I had to talk to my food coach, so that didn't matter. All right, that. All right. I hadn't talked to her yet, so. But anyway, there's cleansing. All right. Cleansing by the blood. Praise the Lord. Well, that was all free. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. You know, some of these natural lessons, people come to me afterwards like, you know, I learned something in that. I'm just saying. And some people think that we can just eat anything, do anything, and break all the natural laws and just use faith, you know, and just breathe air and drink water and we're good. Well, praise the Lord. God gave us a world. He gave us vegetation. He gave us herbs. He gave us things. And really, in the Garden of Eden, you know, we can get religious about that, but he gave us herbs. He gave us vegetation. He gave us these things. So, moving right along. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light, or the development of men. And that's what we're talking about. If you want to be developed in the fruit of the Spirit, then you're going to have to start believing it and saying, I am the righteousness. I am a love person of a love God. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, in case you didn't know that. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. I have self-control. I don't have to eat the whole pie. I don't have to go to Andy's every night. Amen? Because you start doing that every day, and frankly, your body's going to start attacking you. Because it's attacking that food in you. All right? And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Notice that God started out with, let there be light. And in the right ordering of his creation, he started out with light. And the light is not comprehended by the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome light. There is no way that oppression, sickness, failure, any of these things cannot overtake you. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So if these things are dictating to you, it just means that your spirit man isn't strong yet. You are righteous. You are an overcomer, but for some reason, if you're not believing it and speaking it with your mouth, your spirit is weak. Your spirit is emaciated. Your spirit needs to grow. How do I grow? How do I develop my spirit? I'm glad you asked. Through the Word of God. Through reading the Word, through spending time where the Word is being taught and preached. Listen to it. Not necessarily on the radio, but there's go to YouTube and listen to Pastor Jay and myself and Pastor Nancy and Dad Hagen. Listen to these things. Now, I understand if you like good music. Every now and then, I'll listen to worship music. But notice something. I put God's Word first.
Amen.
Like we were listening to some worship music the other night on YouTube. So I had it on the TV. But a couple of the things that came on, I turned it off and I had to find And that's where we found what a beautiful name. And I said, I want to learn that. I've known it over the years, but our team hadn't sang that. And then come, now's the time to worship. That just rose up in my spirit. I told them I want to sing that on Sunday. We used to sing that quite a bit. So songs that are scripturally based, right? And listening to songs that are scripturally based will help you to build your faith. Listening to songs that are talking about who you are in Christ will help you. Listening to songs that tell you about what you have in Christ will help you, what you can do. And just getting in the presence of the Lord, I was just sitting there on the couch, and others were sitting behind me and, you know, doing some things, and I just worshiping the Lord. I don't care. I'm just, you know, he's my Lord and my Savior. If I can't lift my hands and worship him in front of other people, I've got a problem. And I understand, I don't necessarily go through Walmart, hallelujah. But, you know, if I guess if I had a revelation, Jesus started talking to me, I might. I don't care. Moving right along. I'm not weird. There are times when we'll be worshiping the Lord, and over the years the anointing will come on me, and I don't really care about what other people are doing or saying. Or, you know, the way I look at it is I came here for a purpose, and we are having praise and worship for a purpose. So I can either stand here and just half-mass it, hallelujah, or I can get what I need.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying, I'm just saying there are times when I just got overwhelmed by the presence of God. And it maybe you just start dancing or praise the Lord. There's a lot of times I put on eye makeup, but I cry so much.
Yep.
You got that problem too? Yeah. So, and, you know, God wasn't the originator of mascara, but, well, moving right along. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Notice something, that when the Holy Ghost is in you, he can help you. You remember we were talking about that emaciated spirit? But the life of God will help you to move. It will help you to speak what you have. It will help you to say what you have so that God can bring it to pass in your life. And in Romans 8:13, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let's back up. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die.
Yeah.
It's talking about spiritual death. So if you keep talking spiritual death, you're going to start getting sickness, disease, all those things that really are part of the curse. But you're not under a curse, so why are you talking about the curse? So, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit, my friend, you can do whatever you need to do. You can say no to sin. You can say no to sickness and disease. You can say no to financial lack. You can call your body strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There are many times I wake up in the middle of the night, maybe I feel tired or what have you, and I start saying who I am in Christ. I start saying I'm refreshed, and I will say when I wake up in the morning, I will be refreshed in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And I say it, and I say it, and I say it, and I look at his word, and it becomes real in my life, and I listen to YouTube, and I'm talking about people that feed me. I'm not talking about upshoots. I'm talking about people that feed me, my pastor and his wife, and my spiritual parents, which are your grandparents, by the way, you know, Pastor Nancy and Dad Hagen. I would encourage you, listen to his sermons. They're safe. There's nothing that are on his sermons that I'd say, hey, watch out for that. It's safe. And that's why we try to keep simple. And I'm not trying to get real deep with you today, but what are we talking about today? who we are in Christ, we have the life of God. Really, it's the restoration life. It's the resurrection life. And we're going to go to one more scripture. And we have the name of Jesus, which gives us access to draw from that life, to tap in to that life.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3. So we're having more of a Bible study today, and I've been meditating on these things and just sharing as the Spirit of God leads me to. But let's start out in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. See, that goes back to that scripture. Old things are behind me. All right, verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge, that is talking about revelation knowledge. The excellence of the revelation knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. We're just going to have to stop thinking about all the things that of this world that we are desiring, really the carnal things that we desire. Stop thinking about those. How do you do that? Start looking at His Word.
Yes. Amen.
And when you come to church and you're listening to the Word of God, you're looking at His Word, you're in atmospheres that are conducive for spiritual growth for your life, you make a decision, I'm not going to be hanging out with friends that are not... I'm not saying that you can't ever be around somebody that's not saved or not talking the Word, but my friend, you've got to be very careful that those that you hang out most of the time, they're glorifying God. They're glorifying His Word. Well, that wouldn't be any of my friends. Exactly. Make a change. Make a change. And start strengthening yourself in the Lord and start gathering people around yourself that desire God's Word.
Amen.
That desire God's best, that desire God's plan. Because 5 years from now, if you're not in heaven yet, it's not going to matter. And if you're in heaven, you're going to go to the throne of grace and God's going to say, did you do what I told you to do? So I'm saying we ought to get with it right now. And not wait. And not say, well, these friends are I'm hanging out with. Don't wait. Cut it off. Let them know I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. You want to come to church with me? Come on. Amen. But you may have to tell them, get real. If you're not going to get real, then get lost. Moving around. Would you say that? Yes. Like my pastor once said, my ear is not a trash can. People are not going to be talking about their carnal desires and their junk and their desire for drugs and their desire to watch wrong things and all this type of thing. It is not going to be in my ear. So I have to be in atmospheres that are conducive for spiritual growth. Well, moving right along, I just keep getting off on that. I'm just... All right. So, I'm almost through here. Let's go on to verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. In other words, suffering in the flesh is not doing what I desire or a carnal desire in my life. And there are times when you give your flesh opportunities to grow with carnality, but you got to tape it off. You got to tell it to, back off. You got to speak to it. You've got to let the Holy Ghost inside of you give you strength.
Yes.
You got to draw it out. And God wants to restore some things in our life, but it's His power that we've got to tap into. It's in there. It's been there all along if you're a Christian. And that resurrection means... to take up or extricate, draw up, pull out, to rise up, a restoration, raised to life again. Are there things in your life that you know need to be resurrected?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about carnality. I think all of us have had opportunity for carnality to resurrect in our life, but we got to put that to the death. And we've got to allow God's blessings and God's life to be resurrected. We got to tap into it. What does it take? You got to believe it with your heart. You got to say it with your mouth. You've got to be around the atmospheres that are conducive for spiritual growth. And what do? We believe on the name and we walk in love. If we don't want to yield to shame and condemnation, we want to put it behind us, we just tell it to get out of here, and we walk in love. We are people of a love God, and He wants to help us to make the right choices. Do you want things in your life resurrected? Stop looking at the things of your past. Stop looking at the feelings of your flesh. Why don't you stand up? Stop looking at the things that have disappointed you over the years. Sometimes I get frustrated because maybe a symptom might be hanging on my body. And the Lord starts dealing with me. You're panhandling it. You're patting it. You're really drawing it to you. You're resurrecting that thing in your life because you're looking at it so much. But every day, if I remind my body that it's healed, if I use my authority in Jesus' name, every day, and I draw out resurrection life to take care of sickness and disease and oppression and anything that's trying to vie for my attention, amen. You can smile. Why don't you just lift your hands to God? Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We worship you, Father. We get into an attitude of worship and praise. We thank you for the Word of God that's working in our lives. Thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What do you have in your heart, Jocelyn?
I just had that the same song, Hallelujah. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God. Now revealed in you are Christ.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, the Lord dealt with me, everybody teenage and under, if you would come up here, I'm going to minister to you today. And I'm not going to make fun of you or anything, but I would just ask you to come because God wants to minister to the young people in here. Next generation, and we impart into these young people. So just receive the anointing as we sing this song, as Jocelyn sings this song, and I lay hands on you. Let that anointing go into you and minister to you. Hallelujah.
What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What
desire of your heart to go in that house, everything that you need. In Jesus' name, the desire of your heart. I remember that we were, we were moving into a new home in Coralville, Iowa. We live in Central City now because we built a home. But it was a beautiful home, but we had lived in a rental home, and frankly, I went and I bought different things for the home. But I even got some things at a thrift store and you know, they were nice. But I'm like, Lord, I desire new stuff. I desire new furniture. And I started, and I mean, God brought things, the desires of my heart. I remember one night he led me to go to Bombay. And there's a place called Tama Outlet. You remember that? And I went there, and everything was 75% of 75% off. And I couldn't even, I mean, I barely fit in the car coming home. And I didn't really even spend all that much. I barely fit in the car, and I had a chandelier. I mean, I had all these luxury soap dishes. I had just stuff. And I'd been to Thailand, so I'd had a lot of that ceramic, you know, with the gold inlay and this and that. And I mean, when we moved into our house, we took a Thursday night, and we had all the worship team, and they had to carry, I mean, I had stuff. And they had to take it out of the bags, and I had the desire of my heart. And I had a garage sale for all that other stuff. You know what I mean?
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name.
The power.